Very sad news this past week. I got fired from leading my web development team for micromanaging. It was a bad situation. My boss said I just made too many dumb decisions. Hey, it's Daniel Markham here with Nerd Roundup. If you've never been to Nerd Roundup before, well, my friend, welcome up, belly up to the bar. Nerd Roundup is the weekly lunch counter, sit around, shoot shit, have fun while we talk about tech stuff. Meeting of the week. I believe a team that can joke around together and have fun can do Batman or anything. And so once a week, I hold an open hour for whoever can come by, and we just talk tech. And this week we have James Grinning. James, how's it going, my friend?
Very good, Daniel. Nice to see you.
You as well. You just were telling
what you've been doing.
I have been doing some programming.
Uh-oh. I can't hear you.
Been doing a bit of programming, and that was fun. I reinstalled that notebook last week, and I got my coding environment up. I want to set up a C environment. I just haven't got to do that yet. I understand I may be doing some C coding in the future. I'm looking forward to that. How about you?
Let's see what I've been doing. Let's see. I took a day off to play hook yesterday. Went boating. Other than that, I've been adding to. I've got a group going through, like I've told you the last couple of times, going through my first self-paced class. So there's some tweaking going on there, and posted the last couple of videos about legacy code now, and yeah, pretty much everything is there. So that's been good.
That is a good feeling when some of that content comes together and you've got this cohesive whole that you can send out to the world.
Yep.
Good stuff. Excellent stuff. So, golly, we didn't have that many articles this week. I think there was only about six or seven. The first one was VisiCalc. This guy got Lotus to release the VisiCalc source code. So you can download VisiCalc and look at it.
All right. Is that 8085 assembler, or what's it made out of?
Oh, my. Oh, wow. I do not know. I think it was 8088. Yeah, 1981. Did you ever code? This was the whole source code was like 27K.
Yeah. Well, we built a weather radar display system with 16K.
Oh my God. Do you remember when the first spreadsheets came out?
Sure.
I actually wrote software in VisiCalc. I don't think it was version one, but it was about version two or three for the IBM PC.
Wow. So, you didn't download this and inspect it or anything? You just you got the line of code count I saw. That's kind of impressive. Only 27K.
Yeah, no doubt. It really brought back a lot of memories because I remember when I first looked at the spreadsheet, I was like, "Well, this is just a bunch of little boxes." And then I realized that you could connect them together. And then I realized you could do like a chain between boxes, and it just sort of blew my mind. The first time I really figured it out, it just blew my mind. Then I started immediately writing a software. I was working at Domino's Pizza back in the day, and they had a PCAT they bought. I think they paid $2,000 or $3,000 for it. It sat in the back office. Nobody ever touched it because they hadn't got the software yet. And I was a manager, and as a manager, I was supposed to do paperwork every day. So I decided that, dang, we got this computer, we got me, we got the paperwork, three of us together, and you know, within about a week or so, I had it doing all the daily and weekly reports.
Huh. What
all
fun.
All linked to spreadsheets.
You found your calling as a nerd way back then.
It was just fun. It was so fun because the computer would do the adding and subtracting for me. Whatever they could show me in a form I had to do as a manager, I could make the computer do that. And it was just it was kind of like having a dog to do neat tricks or something. It was a good feeling of power.
Yeah, so was that your first computer experience back then, or...?
God, you know, I think that was probably my third or fourth. My first contract program was for a bookkeeper, then a comic book shop, and then I was about 21 or 22 when I wrote this one. So it was, that was long in the tooth. I was in my 20s by the time I wrote this.
Oh, well, you know, yeah.
Yeah, way back when we just had cursors. This right after they had the alphabet. That was,
we didn't even have cursors back then.
But, you know, I don't know where they came up with the idea of a spreadsheet from. I'm assuming the accounting ledgers. But it was just a cool metaphor, a way to solve problems. It was different than the basic type stuff I had brought up on.
Yeah, definitely. Really innovative. Now look what we have to thank. We've got Excel.
Well, you know, there's a ton of businesses right now that are run using Excel. I mean, I'm talking like hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes even billion-dollar businesses that are just run on a bunch of spreadsheets all over the place. It's amazing.
Yep.
Have you done much advanced, you know, like a spreadsheet in the last stuff, I don't know, 10, 20 years since they came up with the scenarios and all the advanced stuff they have?
Who needs all that?
Yeah, it is wild. Because people kept using spreadsheets, they just kept dialing it up. Now you can have a database that's also a spreadsheet, that's also a pivot table. It cooks, it slices, it makes julienne fries, does everything.
Yep. I made the Euchre randomization matrix spreadsheet there. So you like to play Euchre?
I have never played. It looks a bit like spades or bridge.
It's probably, you know, it's not as, it's like half of a pinochle deck. Kind of played like pinochle. You take tricks, so like spades and hearts. And like bridge, although I don't know bridge, but it's somewhere between, you know, spades and bridge. The pinochle bridge, you know, somewhere in there. Good game. But then we play, you know, usually play 10 points, and we've been playing with a number of couples. And then this way you mix everybody up. So you end up playing with everybody once and against everybody twice. It's kind of fun.
Well, my son Jack and I are known as the Darth Vader of spades around here. We got to the point where we would like bid tricks without even looking at our hands.
Oh, well, that is using the dark force, isn't it?
Yeah, people hated playing with it.
So was it just as good as when you looked?
It was.
Are you that bad at guessing tricks?
No, we had to call a couple games. Melissa and I played Phase 10 this past week, and I almost won, which is yay me. She usually kicks my butt on most card games. So this next article is about the, oh my God, it's got to be a quantum thing because we must do quantum things every week. This is a quantum memristor. Have you ever heard of a memristor, James?
I don't know. I think I forgot about those. It was, yeah, no.
Yeah, they didn't want to join the army during the war, and so they went to Canada. Those were all the memristors.
Mm-hmm, those are memristors. Yep,
oh, yeah, it was a bad situation. It's a bad situation. No, they say that just like diodes and transistors, memristors were predicted by physicists in the 40s and 50s, and they only got them working in the last 10 or 15 years. And when they came out, I heard all this stuff about how awesome they were going to be. And now about every 3 or 4 years, there's another article about how awesome they're going to be, but they're not yet awesome. So I guess they're just kind of hanging out. I don't know.
How do they get a full brain inside of that little geodesic dome, though? That's, like, amazing.
Yeah, we can see in the article here by looking at the pictures that they actually use some sort of elephant to get that in, get the brain in there. I think it's just maybe a mammoth.
Oh, they need an elephant. Yeah, okay. That's actually probably a woolly mammoth and maybe a mastodon, just saying.
Yeah, I don't know the difference. The mastodon does not have as much fur as the woolly mammoth, I guess, right?
Oh, well, now you're showing your obvious expertise there. The whole elephant thing was a trick.
Yes, that question was not elephant. I mean, relevant. No, the way memristors work is they remember the amount of current you send through them, and then you don't have to keep current going for them to remember that amount of current. So it's like a sort of a it's a memristor. It remembers the amount of resistance. So then you can use it again. No current required. It's really cool if they can get it working in large circuits. I don't know.
And this would be for a multiple state thing rather than just a binary on or off. It could hold more than one bit. Is that one of the ideas?
It can do analog. It can also, I guess one of the big things is it works without power, so you can just program it and it would work. So it works almost like a live functional auto-programmable FPGA, if you know what one of those are. So it's capable of rewiring itself as it runs, is the cool thing here.
Just what we want. We didn't have enough trouble with software. Now we're going to go do it with quantum hardware.
Yeah, it's weird the first time you realize that we've created systems complex enough that they're basically just like magic acts. You're like, hey, wow, that's pretty cool. And then somebody says, how are you going to fix that? And you're like, I don't really know.
Wait, is it broken?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm the guy who's supposed to do that, aren't I? Yeah, fun stuff. This is just going to make it even more fun, I think.
Edge cases and music. Is that what's next?
That is next. It's horrible edge cases to consider when dealing with music. And this is a list of, you think your times are tough, Mr. Business Programmer, wait till you write an app that has to deal with music stuff. And he's got a bunch of things that just doesn't work, like weird album names that are symbols. Like Prince was named Prince for a while. Then he became that like Aleph symbol for a while. And then some musicians for a long time have been screwing with data processors. And good luck if you have to keep a database all that. Yeah, there's an album called Star. I mean, like, asterisk star. Yeah, there's Untitled from the Byrds, and the name is Untitled, in parentheses.
Oh, so it was meant to be titled, but meant to be untitled, except they had to put the untitled title on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you would distinguish that untitled from an untitled.
Have you ever seen those specifications that said this page intentionally left blank?
I have.
And that, I always had a footnote at the bottom of those that says, except that we put that message on the plate on the page.
No.
No, okay.
Well, not anymore, no.
It was intended to be left blank, but instead we put this message about intentionally being blank on it.
Well, in the other ones, the pages they should put, this page was not meant to be left blank, I guess. I
don't know. Oh, that. Do you put that on all the other pages?
You would have to be consistent, wouldn't you? Okay. They got the unknown artist unknown. They have one artist name, exclamation point, bang, 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 3 exclamation points. Oh, wow, this is looks like a disaster.
Okay,
so the next one
here. This doesn't really have anything to do with music. It just has to do with quirky way musicians name their music.
I think the lesson here is musicians are a big pain in the ass for programmers would be the thing I took away from this.
Ah, okay. Well, whining.
The go-to 80s.
Why don't they just use a JPEG then or something?
Oh, God, don't tell them that. It'll be NFTs in another 5 or 10 years. Oh, geez, they use like hieroglyphs. Awful stuff.
What's this summation down here at the bottom? Delta MI minus 1.
Where's Alpha, that?
I don't know, way down at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's the Alphix twin, has a track named, and it looks like a chemistry equation.
I don't know, I think it's maybe some kind of transformation or something.
Yeah, there's summation symbols in there, so I believe it is a series added together. Thank God for that.
I remember math like that a long time ago.
And you know, that's got to be a pretty good dance tune as well, because everybody's going to request that one. Yeah, if you're going to name stuff like that, you really need to know your limits. Sorry. Oh, here I will. Here we go.
Darn it. I wish I would have thought of that one.
Okay, so this next one was sent in by Scott Ambler. Scott could not make it. He sent me an email 5 minutes ago and said, Dan, I have an impromptu meeting. And I told him that impromptus are really bad people because they're always doing things without scheduling them. But a giant Jupiter-like alien planet observed still in the womb.
Never mind.
It's a little baby planet, as my daughter would say.
With a big mommy.
Yeah, it's a big baby. I told Scott I wasn't really sure what kind of present to buy for the shower.
Use a Subaru telescope. I didn't know they were into telescopes, but why wouldn't they be?
To do everything else, I'm kind of wow. And they say it's not a standard way to form a planet. I don't know that. To me, that sounds a little judgmental, but you know.
Yeah, what are they basing that on? I mean, the universe is kind of big, infinite.
It tickles me these moral and anthropomorphic attributes they throw in all these science stories. It's a baby planet, as if they were like grown-up planets.
Yep. There's only an infinite number of these odd ones.
Well, I don't think people realize, like, the first week they started keeping track of the weather, every temperature was a record temperature that week. So it's like, when you have a very small amount of sample data, everything's like the biggest or best from that point on. We only know about a few thousand planets.
All right, what do all these commenters say? Whoa, big planet. Oh, one guy says, yeah, which of course indicates how little we actually know.
I'm not sure I would say that. Yeah. Comment. Oh, wow.
Okay, well, not having read it,
Well, yeah, it's pretty standard. What I was telling Scott at the time was this the rogue planet story, which is planets without stars.
Yeah.
And the hot Jupiter story, which is these huge planets. I think that that's going to be a really, really cool thing to follow because those things will last trillions of years.
Hmm.
And if you were to have like a moon with a magnetic field around it, you could end up with a stable environment for a trillion years, which is something we've never seen before. We know it could happen. Okay, so this next story here is path tracing, real-time path tracing. And I didn't read the whole thing, but about once a year they come out with a SIGGRAPH conference where they do a whole bunch of cool graphic stuff. NVIDIA came out this year and said, you know, instead of doing ray tracing real-time, which is pixel by pixel, figuring out what a picture is, we're just going to do a path, what they call real-time path tracing, to do outlines of pictures. And then you can, I guess, fake it better inside the path. And they ended up with something that looks like real-time ray tracing, which is something we've never done before.
Hmm.
And here you have like a little tiger walking around. Cool stuff.
Well, yeah, when I went to University of Illinois in Chicago, the guy who ran the graphics department there, brand new field, was Tom DeFonte. And he did all the graphics for the Star Wars movie, the original Star Wars movie, all the little rotating planets and all that kind of stuff. He was a cool guy. Wonder what he's doing.
I still think that if you're really interested in computer science and solving problems, that doing a history of graphics processing, like from, I guess, the mid-70s Star Wars on up through today, they've done some really, really cool stuff. It is amazing.
Yep.
So this next one is highlighting and commenting on articles using the Matrix backend. James, do you know what Matrix is for a backend?
I don't, but you know, on the graphics thing, the first project I worked on was a graphics thing. When you make a bug in a graphics environment, it is so cool. I mean, it just, the whole screen might get wiped with all kinds of colors. One of the things that we had to do was paint concentric circles on a radar map. And with an 8085 processor calculating each point, we were like drawing this circle like this around. It would take a long time. And then we were like, what can we do about this? And we had this bright idea of, oh, you know, there's all these axes. We can just go and calculate it once in this first octant and then just plus minus and do all the combinations and draw the other pixels. It was pretty cool. And we just wanted to solve a problem and came up with that little bit of innovation, which, of course, we never told anybody about it, except that's how our system worked. And you could see it, how it painted rings like... that was kind of cool. And then I've seen other people since then that still draw the circle around like this, and they didn't bother to fix that.
I remember that being an exercise in a BASIC book, gosh, I think in like the late 80s. After I already knew BASIC, I just ran across it in a book. I was like, how do you draw a circle? And the answer was, the quadrants are all the same, so you really just need to draw a quarter of a circle. But yeah, the thing about graphics is it's us versus the machine. So we know what we want. It's easy to visualize and talk about. But we've been fighting the machines all along to get the picture of that. And now we went from circles, you and I did circles, to like tigers walking around. So it's just cool stuff.
So what's this Matrix stuff about then?
Matrix, super cool. If you, of course, we're on Discord right now. Matrix is the uber secure version of kind of Discord, I guess. It's messaging where you cannot tell who's messaging whom. It's run by the Matrix organization. I actually have run a couple rooms on Matrix I never go by. But it's supposed to be the universal peer-to-peer backend that's going to replace the web, hopefully, knock on wood.
Do you need to take a red pill or a blue pill?
No political leanings required. It is a universal message.
That's not political. That's right out of the first movie. Come on.
I thought the red pill, blue pill, were like the red states and blue states. It's not the same thing?
I don't think at that time it was that big of a deal. Right. Now, today, it might take on a new meaning, but...
We need new colors. We need some kind of, maybe a green and brown pill or something.
I could be wrong about that, of course, but wouldn't be the first time.
So Matrix is a protocol for messaging, and people are encouraged to build things on top of it. There's just... some blog commenting systems, maybe some forums like Discord, but this guy did find a web page and highlight and comment on it, and you can share it with your friends, which is kind of cool. Matrix is one of those things I would love to play around with. I'm afraid it would take too much time to set up.
Like all good stuff.
Well, especially in the security arena, you know, by the time you lock it down so that it's really secure, there's like a whole bunch of crap you got to jump through to actually code in it.
Yak shaving, they say, right?
Yes, absolutely. I should write a book on yak shaving. Matter of fact, I started to do that and ended up there's a joke there somewhere. I started to write a book on yak shaving, ended up going on a trip to Miami. Okay, so this next one, this is a photonic system is very good at locating radio transmitters. And so the idea here is there is a new way of finding EMF broadcasters using photons. And I'm sure there's some quantum stuff in here somewhere because there must be quantum stuff everywhere now. But this is really cool to me because if I understand what they're doing correctly, they're actually using photons as a...
Find this yak picture. That might be interesting.
Yeah, is there a yak picture somewhere?
Oh, I've got a yak picture that the yak is really cool looking and it needs a shave. So if you do write the article, let me know and I'll find you a copy of the picture.
I saw an article this past week that was like the programming language I invented while developing a game while trying to solve a problem. It was the yak shaving. So this, I believe this, you got it? Hey, Greg, good to see you.
Hi there, Greg.
Hey, do you hear me?
We do, yes.
All right.
Here.
Hi up there, Greg.
How's it going?
Good.
So the photon story is basically all about new ways of detecting radio transmitters, which is, I think, pretty cool. 3D location of emitters almost instantaneously. Sounds pretty awesome. Okay, so the nerdiest story this week, and as I said, this week's kind of slow week, but this Rachel by the Bay wrote this story about, hey, you got this one-line bash program? Oh, God, this is going to be a huge pain in the ass. And she goes down the reasons why it's a pain in the ass. It all has to do with piping. And there was also a Linux pipe vulnerability released today, which I didn't want to trace down, but it was also related to piping. So, James, you get a chance to look at the bash story.
Oh, there's a bash story. If I only knew.
Exciting stuff. There were also at least two different bash shell replacement stories in the last week. I ignored both of those because there's like one every week now. So, all of this kind of boils down to, kids, bash ain't easy. You can screw yourself over pretty quickly, and my reply to this is, well, you know, welcome to programming. That's just kind of the way things have been for a while.
Okay, so what bad thing happens here?
Well, this is actually the tour related. She says if you have a reader and writer, and you pipe the reader to the writer, that basically the writer doesn't care whether the reader's working or not, because Bash runs concurrently in parallel everywhere, so it sets the pipe up, and it's expecting something no matter what happens to the reader, which can end up with undefined behavior. And there's a similar bug that was released yesterday, 0 day, that they fixed, was that you could open a stream, change the flag used in the kernel to open the stream, and then write corrupt data to any file on your Linux system. It's all about fun with pipes. My problem, I love this story, and one of the reasons I include it, but my problem is that you can take apart any piece of code and find problems like that. And I think the real issue with Bash is not that it's easy or that needs fixing or that sucks, because all of that's kind of true. It's that it's been the same for 20 years, so you don't have to retrain yourself. It sucks the same way now as it did 20 years ago.
That's very negative.
Yeah, it's weird because all the things I thought bad about Bash turned out to be positive attributes. I just had to wait around long enough. I remember picking on my friends saying, yeah, you guys are grepping and awking, and I thought I was having a hootin' hell of time picking on them. James, you've been replaced by a yak.
Yes, I have. Who could have thought it was possible?
You're not even as... Whoa, there you are. That's kind of quite a psychedelic yak you got there, James.
If he needs a shave, we're all set.
That's the kind of yak you see when you had too many of them funny cigarettes, I think. Yeah.
From a pub in England.
Ah. Did you know that Disney could become a nuclear power at any moment?
Great. They make good choices all the time. They might as well.
When they got their permission to build in Florida, they asked permission to also build a nuclear reactor, and they got it from the state. So their lease says they can build a nuclear reactor if they ever want to do that.
Hmm.
Nuclear-powered Mickey Mouses, that's what I'm talking about. Huh?
And there's Walt. He's in between doses of morphine, right?
He's got that old, with Neo. Is that the board, the solar system version, the atom there?
But what's kind of bizarre is that with something the size of Disney, building your own power plant actually makes fairly decent sense.
I think it's bizarre because it's not bizarre. It's like, look at all the problems we're having now trying to get permission to build little nuclear power plants, and they asked for it, 80 years ago or something.
Sure, no problem, Disney.
Yeah,
I wonder what their electric bill actually is every month.
I have never been to Disney World. Have you guys, James, you kind of vacationer there. Have you been?
No, it's one of the things you do with your grandchildren because you love them. And then you hope that no one suggests it again. It's actually really fun to go watch them, and it's really just a horrible place to be. And it's really entertaining. It's too crowded and, too dirty and running around, whatever. Okay, old guys talking, yeah. No,
okay,
no,
I actually pulled up a real number here for Disneyland's electric bill.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
$3.5 million a day.
Dag. Wow.
It's a lot of electricity.
I bet the power company is not waiting a long time if they don't pay their bills. They're just going to come pull a plug right away on that kind of...
They probably couldn't afford to pull their plug.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when your bill's that big, the power company doesn't own you. You own the power company.
I would imagine that if you are that big, you're probably even getting to the point where all your electricity is coming off the spot market.
Hmm. I would imagine, too, especially in Texas. Of course, I think it's related to the states. That's why they had to ask permission from Florida to do this.
Florida's got pretty cheap electricity to start with. But, don't know.
Yeah, it's funny, because I've been by Disney World, I bet you, probably 50 times. I've been to Florida a bunch of times. I met my wife. She had a conference. I stayed at the Swan Hotel. Never got out, never did anything. That was that's my Disney World experience.
We were at a conference there, maybe about 10 years ago, and we were in a ground floor location at the conference, and it was so nice out, and us Northerners, it's like, open the door and let the nice air in. And in about a half hour, we had a snake in our bathroom. Now, luckily, it was just one of these black snakes, so it was no big deal, but... threw a towel over it and tossed it outside.
I think there's what they call palmetto bugs, which looks a lot like a cockroach, but they don't...
Well, yeah, that's just a nice way of saying cockroach. I'm just telling you.
Sounds much better as a palmetto bug. Okay, last story is about Goblin Mode. So Goblin Mode is supposed to be a new term that people are using. It means just kind of staying at home and becoming a bum. I don't know what you're not bathing. It's just, it's called goblin mode.
Wasn't bum good enough?
Yeah, goblin mode sounds a lot cooler. Sounds like you're kind of doing some kind of Lord of the Ring LARPing or something. It's
Well, goblins aren't one of the favorite characters out of the Lord of the Rings. I'm just saying.
Yeah, aren't the goblins the ones that are No, that's the orcs.
Yeah, they're all related.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad family. They don't have a lot of events. So that's about...
Yes, through goblin mode, okay.
Yeah. So that's about it for this week. What have you guys been... You been reading anything, watching TV, anything like that?
Oh, let's see. What were we watching? We were watching something. We watched Around the World in 80 Days on Masterpiece Theaters. Kind of a fun story. Lighthearted.
Was that an older version or more recent?
More recent, yeah. Because I remember it from when I was a kid, not actually seeing it, but remember the images of it. And then now there's this remake. It was fun. Had a good time watching it.
Jules Verne.
Oh, was that his story?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was kind of interesting because it looked like it would have been, like it's a possible thing to do with the technology of that era, which would have been late 1800s or whatever. And, you know, this guy starts his trek and makes it. And I won't spoil the end. There's a nice, they thought they lost, but in the end they did win.
You know, just in case. It's been so long, I don't remember it. I do remember that, like, within about 20 or 30 years, there was a lady who actually did the Around the World in 80 days, and it worked for her, and she made it.
Yep.
How about you, Greg? What's been up? You been watching anything cool?
Well, for watching, the one that I've been kind of waiting for, and I might even be watching it today, is The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Hmm.
I believe it's released today.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there was such a thing.
And what's that on? It's a Lord of the Rings theme thing, right?
Harry Potter, right?
Yeah, it's it's just been released.
Oh, it's Harry Potter?
Yeah, and it was literally just like released today, I believe. Let me double check.
It's funny because you say it's released, and I still don't know whether you mean that's like just in theaters or on streaming or.
Oh, no, I think this is on theaters only. Ooh. Check. Released Wednesday, April 6th.
Huh.
In theaters.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's know what you think of it if you're going to go see it. I watched some of those Exotic Beast ones. That was sort of the latest one thing.
Well, the one when I went and did a search for it, it gave me a place in Massachusetts, which is, I guess, only like 40 miles from here, but it's still kind of far to go to see a film.
Gosh, it's been so long. It's been probably 2 years since I've been to the theater. I really miss it.
We went to the theater. It was kind of nice to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a social thing. Shame that so many theaters had such a hard time with COVID. So I have, I finished up the Dune books. I started on a Louis Armstrong biography a couple days ago. That's been kind of cool. And I started watching Pieces of Her, which is on Netflix.
Did you do some of the Dune prequels?
You know, I had to decide when to stop. I did the first three, and I'm like, you know, there's only like 12 more. Do you just keep going? Yeah.
Well,
the real question with the Dune prequels is, do you read them before or after?
Oh, you read them after.
Mm. Yeah, that was a tough choice. You know, I really
where they all the legends get explained, and yeah.
Yeah. It was well done, very well done. I'm happy did it. You're right, James. It was very well. The audio stuff was most excellent.
I like when they tried to copy the spice. unintended consequences. Did you get to that book? Did you get to that one?
No, I haven't got that. Must be in one of the.
Yeah, so one of the prequels, one of the.
Huh. Cool. I'll have to check that out. Well, see, Mark Danninger is online. Dang, Mark. Wish I knew you were coming by. Looks like Mark Danninger's around somewhere or another.
Should I get rid of my yak, make room for him?
I don't know. I'm afraid of, like, welcoming anybody. What happened last time? We're like, hey, welcome, new person. And they immediately bailed off. So it's like, I'm not going to say hello to anybody now. Doom was most excellent. I enjoyed it so much. I'm thinking about doing Lord of the Rings. And Greg recommended another good book to do, and so now I'm back to having too many choices again. So I went to do Louis Armstrong.
There you go.
All right, awesome possum. Guys, I thought it would be kind of quick this week, and it has been kind of quick. Anything else you want to say before we bail out? All right, hang on. Let me do my Hank goodbye thing. Well, there you go. You've lost yet another half hour or so with Nerd Roundup. We're happy to by. It's DanielBMarkham.com. I will see you on the internet.